You're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
On today's episode, episode number 301, entitled How to Be Brutally Honest and Dramatically Improve Your Confidence and Life, I chat with Dan Monroe. Dan Monroe is a confidence coach and best-selling author and the author of the new book, The Naked Truth. In today's episode, Dan talks about how to use brutal honesty to enhance your confidence, connections, and integrity in life. He discusses the daily tactics for being more open and honest with yourself and with those around you. Dan talks about overcoming fears, overcoming shame, overcoming guilt, gaining confidence, and obtaining ruthless honesty in your life. If you're wondering how to become brutally honest, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. As a reminder, guys, join the newsletter at elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter. If you haven't yet, follow me on Instagram at Justin Stenstrom, as well as Facebook at Elite Man Mag. And also now on Parler, that's Parler.com on the website, or you can get the app, the Parler app. Follow me at Justin Stenstrom. It's basically like Twitter/Facebook combined without the censorship. So you can post whatever you want on Parler. You're not going to get censored, and you don't have to worry about those ridiculous fact checkers or your posts being pulled or flagged or all the other nonsense that's accompanied with social media these days. Parler is a new big thing coming up, so I'm posting on there now a lot regularly, and I want you to follow me on there to get all the uncensored truth. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from Elite Man Magazine, and my guest today is my good friend Dan Monroe, the author of the upcoming book, The Naked Truth. Dan, thanks so much for coming back on the show, man.
Happy to be here, bro.
So we're both laughing because we actually just recorded about 10 minutes of this, and I realized that I didn't have the record button on, and you know, I was just like, shit, we got to restart this, man. I feel so bad. But so Dan has been on the show a couple times. I've been on his show a couple times. We always have a blast when we chat, we catch up, and this is kind of like our 2.5, I think, time, because you know, the little false start we just had a few minutes ago. But let's run it back again. It's always, honestly, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show, man. It's always great catching up with you. You're one of the few genuine guys I've met over the years that I always love talking to and just catching up with and shooting the shit with from time to time. And we like I mentioned before, we have very similar audiences, very similar men that sort of follow our lead. And your Facebook group is awesome. My Facebook group is awesome. We kind of have like a different bit of a flavor, like a different approach to how we do things. But at the end of the day, I think our overall message is very similar. And I just love the fact that we can just vibe off each other and kind of connect, you know, periodically every 6 months, once a year, we come together and kind of do some type of show. And I'm excited to hear the new book, man, because I know you're all about honesty, being like unapologetically honest. We actually mentioned that in the prior podcast we had you back on, but I'm excited. It's good to hear from you again, man.
Definitely, bro. And, you know, we missed it with the recording, but I had to say again that, you know, you were one of the most popular guests I've had on my show. And I think it's because of that mixture of same and different, where you and I are going for the same goal with slightly different angles, slightly different approach. Both are probably valuable. In fact, a smart person would take bits from both of us and discard the bits that don't work. And yeah, so I loved chatting to you about this stuff, man. I feel like we have a similar wavelength thing.
Yeah, for sure, man. So what is the, I know you've done a few different books. What's the latest book about, though? What's The Naked Truth all about? I know, like, I got a hint of what it's about, but I'm looking forward to diving into it. And by the way, it's a real thick one, like 350 pages, similar to Elite Mind, 40 chapters or whatever. There's a lot of good content in there, I know for sure, and I can't wait to dive in. But what made you write this newest one?
Yeah, so initially I had a set up to do a trilogy, and I'm still going to do that. This is the second of a trilogy that I've kind of locked myself into, unfortunately. And it was these kind of three core values that I really advocate for: curiosity, honesty, and respect. But honesty is the king value for me. Honesty transformed my life. Like we've talked about before, you know, I spent most of my life being very fake, thinking that that was the best way to go, kind of conditioned into it, programmed into it, like so many of the guys that we work with. And, you know, it's a thing that works for you as a kid. It kind of works for you as a high schooler. And then it slowly stops working as an adult, and you end up quite lonely, anxious, depressed, and you don't have a fucking clue who you are, you know, and that's where I got to. It didn't take long for me to get there, but around my mid-20s, I had my midlife crisis. You know, I had it nice and early, where I just woke up one night, and I was like, I don't have a fucking clue who I am. I don't even know what I like. I don't know anything about me because I'm so busy pretending to be something that people will like. And that was the beginning for me, where I eventually stumbled onto maybe I should try being a little bit more honest. That was over 10 years ago now. And I've been working on honesty ever since, because once I discovered honesty, I realized that's my thing. And since then, especially with the kind of work I do with coaching around integrity, I've found it's a lot of people's thing. You know, I talk about this a lot in the book. A lot of people, kind of in a vague way, think of themselves as honest. They don't even really sort of consider it. They just think, I'm a good person, therefore I'm generally an honest person. They might think something like, I'm not a liar. And so they don't explore it. They don't consider that honesty could be their issue when it comes to whatever it is going on in their life, troubled relationships, shitty job, bad self-esteem. And that's the first thing that we have to address, is maybe it's honesty. Maybe you don't actually realize how dishonest you are. So that was the prompt for this book. I not only wanted to help wake people up to the true cause of their issues, but also after 10 years of exploring how to be honest in a way that survives in the real world without compromise, you know, I wanted to actually map it all out. So the book goes all the way from the exploration of the mindset of honesty. How do you even know what honesty is? Through to the practical application, how do you do it in an effective or what I call a powerful way, all the way through to how do you handle people's reactions to it at the end, you know?
Yeah.
So that kind of sums it up, I think.
So how do you even know what honesty really is? Like, let's start with that first part. How do you know when you're being honest and what honesty actually looks like and how, you know, it is in your life or isn't in your life?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, we have to say that honest is like a subjective topic, honesty. You know, we'll never get to a scientifically objective definition of it. But what I generally say is you usually know if what you're saying and doing accurately represents what's going on inside you. If it does, you're being honest. If it doesn't, you're straying from honesty a certain distance. One way to think of it is like if someone could read your mind, they're not going to be surprised by what they see in there based on what you express. Mm-hmm. Or if someone was to read your journal, they'd be like, yeah, that's kind of what he sounds like when he talks. Or if someone was to snoop through your phone, they're not going to be shocked by anything they find in there. It's this kind of thing where if somebody could see behind the scenes, it would match what they're seeing on the outside. That's how I think of honesty. And I really believe that once somebody pays attention to themselves, they do know personally whether they're doing it or not. Nobody else can tell them they are or not, because nobody knows really what's going on inside them. Only you and I know if we're being honest.
Yeah.
You know, so it comes down to, it's not about a kind of philosophical definition of truth, which is a bottomless pit of debate. You know, what is true? What is reality? You don't actually even need to know. What you need to know is, what is what I'm saying representative of what's really going on inside me? And that's a much easier question to answer than what is the truth objectively. You know, so when I talk about honesty, it's your own subjective truth.
Why is that so important for people to have that connection between what's outside and what you're telling people and how you're living your life and then what's inside and what you're really feeling? Why do some people... First of all, I understand why some people do it, but why do some people feel like so bad from that? What is like the repercussions from that? Like, how can that mess up some people's lives? And then some people can just live forever and, you know, they'll be fake their entire lives. But who really knows then, I guess, because then they're probably miserable inside. But I guess what I'm asking is how does that really affect different people? And like, how have you seen that presented in different types of people?
Yeah, I mean, it gets down to an individual level as to how it comes out differently. But the key factor that I guess the selling point for honesty is that dishonesty creates shame. So the way I define shame in the book is shame is a sense that there's something wrong with you or something true about you is wrong or bad and must be hidden. A lot of people think that they have that first and then they're dishonest. So let's say I'm ashamed of something I did yesterday and so I don't tell anyone about it. That's my dishonesty. And I should mention, though, when I say dishonesty, I don't just mean lying directly. I mean hiding important truths. I mean deliberately allowing people to believe things that are untrue, you know, deception. What happens when I hide that thing, I confirm to myself that it's wrong. I've told myself it's bad by hiding it. It's kind of like if you told someone else to shut up, you're shaming them. You know, if you tell someone, like, no one wants to hear what you have to say. Well, imagine you're doing that to yourself every time you hide something. Now, imagine you do that multiple times per day, every day, for years. Imagine in your relationship, you never really tell your partner what you're really thinking or feeling. You know, imagine at work, you never confront your boss on the thing that bothers you. And this compounds over time. You constantly, essentially telling yourself, I'm wrong, I'm bad, I must hide. It should be kind of obvious, the long-term effects of doing that. Just imagine if you were to bully someone else in that way, the long-term effects it would have on them. It would destroy them. And people are destroyed by that. So that's what I finally figured out is, like, people rejecting me, things not going my way, me not winning certain outcomes, that's not what hurts. What hurts is me suppressing myself all the fucking time, constantly, day and day, every time I'm pretending to be happy when I'm not, every time I'm playing a role that someone will like instead of just speaking the truth, I'm bullying myself. And nobody else even knows it's happening, especially if I'm good at manipulating, which I was. Mm. I was good at, like, people thought I was the guy I was putting out there when I really fucking wasn't, or at least it was like a thin slice of me. It was like 2% of the whole picture. I was just showing them the best, most approvable bit, sort of thing. So essentially, when I see the long-term effects from the most extreme suicidal depression through to a kind of existential apathy, like, why am I here? What's the point of anything?
Yeah.
Through to divorce and breakdown of long-term relationships with family, through to unsatisfying career because you never went for it and asked for what you really wanted and so on. It's catastrophic, the long-term effect. But the reason people do it is because the short-term effect of dishonesty is comfortable. You feel good. You get an instant reward. You get relief. You get to avoid something painful. And that's the price. You know, people would rather have that little instant comfort of it not rocking the boat and everyone getting along than to have a short-term awkwardness or discomfort or confrontation for the long-term reward of getting to be yourself, essentially, as cheesy as that sounds.
Yeah. So how much, I mean, there's a few different questions that actually pop up from what you just said, but how much honesty are we talking about here? How much holding back do you still do today? And how much do you recommend people still, like, you can't just walk around and tell people, like, you know, you're walking down the street and you see some overweight woman and, you know, you just walk up to her and tell her she's fat. Or you see, you know what I mean? You see someone that you don't like, and you just walk up to them. Like, maybe you had a past, and you don't like that person. You go up to them and just tell them all the things that you hate about that person. You can't just, like, go around saying all this shit to people because it's obviously not going to work out well. But so, how much honesty, like pure raw honesty, are you going around telling people? And also, as far as, like, your own personal, say, demon, not even necessarily demons, but things that you would ordinarily hold close to your chest, how much are you revealing to the world? Are you just telling everybody every little thing that you were previously, like, insecure about, or maybe you were, like, you wanted some privacy? Like, how much privacy are you keeping for yourself at the same time while still being honest?
Look, this is why I had to write a book on this, because there are so many of these kinds of questions that have to be addressed before someone's okay with being fully honest. And There are kind of two aspects to this. One is the delivery, how you're being honest, And a lot of people are doing what I call weak honesty. So when they are truthful, it's done in a way that actually is far more likely to generate negative reactions. For example, being judgmental. If I go up to someone and say, you're fat, I might be thinking that, so you could technically call that honesty. But who am I to judge someone's weight? That's quite an inaccurate thing to say. Now, if I was to go up to someone and say, hey, by the way, I'm really materialistic and I judge people on their looks, that's even more honest and far less likely to get a negative reaction. So there's a spectrum of honesty, and I talk about this in the book, where as you move up the spectrum, following these principles like taking responsibility for yourself, being as accurate and vulnerable as possible, being bold with what you say, and importantly, reciprocation, where it's balanced between the people, you're not doing all the oversharing. If you follow these principles, not only will you be more honest, but it's actually more likely to be received well. However, there is no guarantee where you can be honest in a way that you'll definitely have it received well. And a huge portion of the book is helping people get okay with not getting a good reaction. Especially when honesty is done properly, or by my opinion properly, you're only going to get a bad reaction from people who probably shouldn't be in your life. People who are a bad fit for you, who aren't a good business partner, who aren't a good relationship, friend, anything. And the honesty serves as a polarizing kind of mechanism of bringing good people in and pushing the others out. Good people for you, I should say, personally. In terms of my limitations, I am genuinely trying to get to zero. I'm not quite there yet. There are some limitations. For example, I talk in the book about reciprocation, which is, let's say I'm really honest with you. I'm going to also expect that you balance this out and give back. So let's say I give you one honest truth. If we weren't having like a podcast conversation, if it's just me and you at a bar, I'm not going to give you six deep, vulnerable, intimate things about myself in one go and just what I call oversharing, just steamroll over you and suffocate you with truths about myself. I might give you one, and then I'm going to shut the fuck up and wait until you match me. And if you don't match me, we might be done. If you do match me, we have a connection. So a lot of people, they think, when they start thinking about what I call powerful, or what some people call radical honesty, they think, fuck, I'm just going to scare people. You know, I'm going to scare people, I'm going to piss them off, I'm going to offend them. Not if you make this a balanced interaction back and forth, where you go first, you lead, you take the courageous first step of being a bit more honest than you usually are with this person. But then it's on them to meet you halfway. Like a game of tennis, you got to hit the ball back and forth. You don't just smash fucking balls at them. You got to play the game back and forth. So that's one of the limits. Another limit, like a limit I currently have, is telling secrets about other people. I mean, I may never change this one. So if I have a secret about myself that involves another person, and telling it would put that other person in some uncomfortable position that they haven't given me permission to do, or they've told me a secret that they've asked me to keep a secret, then I won't say that. But I might tell you, I can't tell you because I promised to keep a secret.
Yeah.
So that's the, like, as honest as I can be. I can let you know that there's something there, but then I'm not going to tell you about it. But in terms of my own personal secrets, well, you'll see a lot of them in the book. I'm trying to get to the point where nice. I've put it out in a public way where basically you could scan my computer, you could read my journal, you could talk to my friends and get all the goss, and nothing's going to be shocking. I've already said it anyway.
Yeah.
I think if I can get there where everything I'm ashamed of is out, to the point where I'm no longer ashamed of it, completely shameless, I think that, in my opinion, that's the highest level of confidence a person can get to.
It's incredible.
But I think it's a lifelong journey to get there.
Those of you who listen to my show know I try to make mindfulness part of my daily routine. I try to do some type of meditation practice every single day, whether it be for 10 minutes, half hour, or even an hour sometimes. I've tried some meditation apps to help, but I don't get the hype. My results have been inconsistent at best.
Even the big name apps out there, I've tried them in the past. I just didn't really like them, didn't feel comfortable with them, and they really didn't help me to actually get into the zone and meditate. I felt like I needed a lot more, so I tried NuCalm. And I gotta be honest, NuCalm is incredible. From the first minute I tried it, the first time I used it, I absolutely loved it. With NuCalm, it takes just a couple of minutes to get relaxed and feel like I'm in the meditative zone, and then that's where all the magic really happens. I've been using NuCalm every day for the past few weeks, and it's like my midday charge-up. I use it every day in the afternoon, and it's like my midday boost to get me in the zone, to have that meditation practice, and then when it's over, feel incredible for the rest of the day. NuCalm gets you into a deep transcendental meditative state every time. No matter if you're just starting your mindfulness practice or you have been meditating for years, NuCalm will allow you to make the most of your mindfulness sessions. NuCalm is the only system of its kind clinically proven in over 1 million sessions to improve your sleep, reduce your stress, and boost your recovery without drugs and side effects. The NuCalm system uses cutting-edge neuroscience and consists of three non-invasive and non-pharmaceutical items, all of which are included in your monthly subscription that costs less than a daily cup of coffee. The whole process is easy to use and work into your daily routine to achieve better sleep, reduce stress, and boost your recovery. Do what I did. Own the day with NuCalm. We have a special link set up specifically for our listeners. Go to elitenucalm.com and get 50% off your 30-day subscription of NuCalm and their money-back guarantee. That's elite, NuCalm.com. Elite, NuCalm.com. The connection that you just made of that right there, I think, is one of the most powerful things in life. It really is that important when you're able to be okay with all those things that you were like ashamed of in the past, that you hid from people, that you didn't want to talk about, that, you know, made you feel a certain way, and you've been kind of suppressing it. Every single one of us, by the way, who's listening to this podcast, you and I had or still have, in most cases, many of those things. And we, you know, we all have these secrets, all of these things that we're like a little bit, even if it's not a huge thing, but like a little bit ashamed of, we don't want to share with other people. But I think you're right. The more we can unpack those things over time and over the years, and I've done that as well with the book, talking about a lot of things in my book that, you know, I didn't tell anybody for years. I didn't talk about, you know, the depression, the suicide, what was going on in my mind, how I actually like planned it out, how I did self-harm and, you know, all that shit. I didn't tell anybody that for years, but it's like when I got it out in the book and then, you know, thousands of people read it within the first whatever couple of weeks, it's like, you know, you feel pretty good because now it's out there. I don't have to keep that in me anymore. I don't have to like be ashamed of that. And it lets something go, and then it allows you to have like more energy and, you know, it's replaced by something a lot better and more favorable. I am curious though, because you did mention it, what are a couple of the things that you have it brought out in your book, The Naked Truth, that you previously were ashamed about talking about?
Good, I'm glad you asked, because now I have to match you talking about yours, you know? And before I go into that, I've got to commend you, because you perfectly demonstrate my point. You revealing those things in the book, just feel that lightness. Notice how the way you just talked about them was so natural and normal. There's no hesitation or embarrassment. You're okay with that shit now.
Yeah.
And you got okay with it by expressing it.
Yep.
And that's the secret. You can get okay with everything about yourself if you talk it to death. You get to the point we're talking about, it's like neutral, boring.
Yep.
That's confidence. It's hard to say because I can't remember every example I gave in the book, but I don't think there's anything in the book that I've never told anyone. But there's certainly things in the book that certain people don't know about, and they're going to find out. I talk about erectile dysfunction in the book and my battle with that. Yeah, my parents are going to read this book.
That's
going to be a weird dinner conversation.
I'm looking forward to that one.
I don't know. Maybe they've already seen previous bits of content where I talk about it. I talk about weird, dark intimacy issues and stuff with ex-girlfriends. Some of them I'm still in contact with. Some of them are certainly going to read the book and know who I'm talking about when they get to that bit.
Yeah,
and they're going to realize that who they thought I was in the relationship isn't true. I've already had that. It's interesting. My first ever proper girlfriend, she, poor her, she was totally conned by my act. And so thoroughly that, you know, she sees my content as it comes out, and I quite often reference our relationship as like the darkest days of my nice guyness, where I was so full of shit all the time to make her happy. She doesn't believe it. She can't like wrap her head around that that's what was happening. She's like, crazy. Nah, you're exaggerating it. I'm like, nah, I'm fucking not.
Yeah,
I was just good at it. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, things like erectile dysfunction, a lot of the sexual stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't have too many weird sexual things, but basically anything sexual gets into shame category for people. Yeah, it's usually the number one category. Talk about using porn, masturbating, stuff like that. Again, my parents are going to read this. And I think some of the hardest stuff will be, I've talked about some of my sort of previously close friends who I'm no longer in touch with and why I distanced myself from them and how fraudulent the friendship was. You know, there's going to be some people who don't know that because I never sort of thought to reach out to them, let them know. Mm-hmm. They might find out through the book. I don't mind them knowing. I'm not like hiding it from them. I just don't have the time to reach out to everyone and tell them everything that I've ever done, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's the main thing. My, my wife edited the podcast, the audio book of it. And, yeah, she was quite touched with some of the stuff in there. Like, I'm very, very honest with my wife. I've never been more honest with someone. But you don't remember to say everything all the time. So there's some extra stuff in there that she found out. and stuff that people find out about us in there as well. But, yeah, it was really cathartic for me to actually write this stuff out. Yeah. Like I said, it's come out before, but knowing that, okay, this is going to a broad, unrestricted, uncontrollable, untrustworthy audience. I don't know who's going to read and what they're going to do with it.
Yeah.
And that's like the final release. Like, okay, now I'm just giving it to the world. They can do whatever they want with it. It's out of my control now.
Yeah. It's like a wildfire. You don't know how it's going to react once it's out there, but you got to put it out there. But I do have a question though that you just kind of made me think of, which is when you mention your parents and like the, say, sexual things that you talk about in the book and that, you know, they're going to read it. In your mind, is it okay to potentially, and obviously like our listeners, most people don't write books. So, you know, this doesn't really apply to everybody as far as like putting it out there, like literally for everybody in the world to read, anyone to read. But is it okay in your mind to withhold some revelations, some truths, some inner shames or whatever you want to call them to certain types of people, like say your parents, for instance? Like you could tell your friends a bunch of shit that like you were maybe ashamed about to try to get over it in that sense, but maybe you don't necessarily want to tell your parents or your grandparents or your family members about it. In your mind, is there a way to sort of do that, or is it better to just like you, like you're literally doing, throw it out there for everybody to see, the entire world, and you're just completely cool with anybody reading it or seeing it?
I think the most direct answer to that is by the time someone's at the end of the book, I want them to be at peace with how honest they are. And they're going to make that decision themselves. They're going to make that call. They don't have to go as far as I've gone. Like I talk about in the book, once you get to about 80% honest, which is this weird kind of measurement that you can get to where like nearly everything you gets out, your confidence will be so much greater than if you're at 30 or 40% where most people sit.
Yeah.
So even getting to 80 will be at the point where you're like, I don't want to be anyone else. I want to see this life out. I feel like I have purpose and meaning. But what I would say is anybody who's already starting to think of the caveats, you know, I won't tell this person that and that person this. First, you have to figure out why. Why not them? Why not that? Because the first reason you give yourself is almost certainly fear-based bullshit. You'll tell yourself, I can't tell my mum because it will hurt her feelings. It's like, well, who are you to control her feelings? Why is that your excuse? Is that the true reason? Or is that your narrative to hide the fact, I'm just scared of how her uncomfortable reaction is going to make me feel?
Yeah.
Which is the real, I always say like in the book, and this is like probably the most strong thing I say in the book, the only reason anyone's ever dishonest is because they're afraid of the consequences of being honest. I can't think of any argument against that. Now, it's okay to be afraid of those consequences, and there may be some times where you're like, my fear is legitimate. Let's say you don't want to tell. It can be about your stage in life. Like right now, think of something like cancel culture, right? Right now, I'm immune to that. You really couldn't do it to me because my audience expects me to get all the dark, dirty stuff out. So if anyone revealed stuff about me, my audience is only going to love me more. Now, most people are not in that position in their career. Now, most people, if they're not bold and confident and resourceful enough yet to survive a cancel attempt, then maybe right now is not the time to be that honest, and they'll have to build up to it, like I have over more than 10 years. If you take me back 10 years ago, I wouldn't survive being as honest as I am now. I don't have the inner tools and resources to handle the reactions that I can handle now. I had 5 years working with criminal offenders just to learn how to have confrontations. I had to learn, like, slowly build up courage alongside my honesty. And in the book, this is what I talk about. I'm like, you're going to find your level that you can handle right now and just slowly keep moving the needle a little bit more each week, maybe each month. Because every time you do, you release a little bit more shame. And you can go as far as you feel like going with that. The further you go, the less shame you have. And if you do it at the right pace, you build up courage alongside it so you can handle the consequences as you go. But no, you don't go suddenly from shy introvert pretending to be someone they're not to full disclosure to the whole world in one step, because you won't handle it. You haven't. It's like doing one boxing lesson and then jumping in with Tyson. You're just going to get smoked, right? Honesty is a bit like that. You've got to build up your kind of resistance to the world,
yeah,
through practicing honesty itself.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And so what are these applications of practicing honesty? And obviously, like I mentioned, not everyone's going to write a book. Not everyone can, you know, have a podcast like you or I. What, just like in general, like everyday people, what are the ways that you recommend that these guys practice this honesty on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, well, that's the key. It's in real life, in the little interactions that we have every day. Great example would be, you know, you're at the office and someone's like, how's your weekend? And they say this every Monday, and it's just meaningless noise. Try answering it honestly rather than just saying fine or good. Actually stop, think about how your weekend was, and throw it out there, especially if you're a little bit uncomfortable being honest about it. Like, oh, actually, I had a bit of a fight with my cousin on the weekend, and now we're not talking. Something you would just never normally say because it's a bit more intimate. It's breaking the rules of this, hey, let's just make superficial noise at each other over coffee or whatever. It's these little moments, or I think a huge one, there's two huge ones really, being honest about your preferences and what I call your disses, disagreement, disappointment, disgust, disapproval. These are the things most people hide because it rocks the boat. If you can start letting these out a little bit more, like what you prefer and what you dis, you know, like what you'd rather disprefer. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if that's a word.
Yeah.
So I like that. I don't like this. I want that. I want less of that. Rather than trying to be agreeable or trying to sort of play some safe middle ground. I've seen you on Facebook. You know, you've got a really clear view on what to do with masks and everything like that.
Masks and politics and all that shit lately.
Right.
And to be honest,
going all in on your view,
it's something I was kind of scared to talk about. Well, not necessarily kind of the mass. Even when this thing first started, I didn't want to talk about that as much as I am, you know, on a certain side of it, because I knew it would piss off a lot of people, and especially a lot of people that I'm friends with. Like, you know, that's the hardest part. I don't give a shit about people I don't care about. It's like, you know, I'm gonna put this out there. If you don't like it, I don't even really know you. But people I actually really like, you know, people that I have a lot of respect for, people that I have working relationships with, that's what I was scared of. It's like, I'm going to make a lot of enemies here. And as much as I always respect people for having different views and whatever, some people I can understand that they're not really at that same place. So I'm going to put this out there and some people aren't going to like me for it. And it was kind of scary.
Perfect example of you finding your current edge with honesty. If it gets your heart beating a little bit to hit post or to say, No, I disagree to someone in a conversation, you're at your edge. You don't have to push further into terrifying land where you have a panic attack or a meltdown, but you have to get away from saying the thing that keeps everything nice and easy going and smooth and carefree all the time. I've got to, you know, this is there's a couple that I mention in the book. They're friends of mine, and I went to go hang out with them, and this is in my nice guy days. I'm hard out. Like, my thing was making people laugh and have a good time all the time. Never had a negative thing to say, never complained, never disagreed, or if I disagreed, I just changed the topic with a joke. I was like that guy. I was Chandler from Friends is what I was, right? People actually called me that. So I went around to their house, and they were just bickering, you know, just having a go at each other, or so I thought. I'm like, fuck, their marriage must be on the rocks. You know, they just fucking won't stop having a go at each other. Because in my eyes at the time, all I saw was conflict. And that was my first impression. Now, I went back after a couple of years, and after a couple of years of working on myself, this is right before I made my transition to honesty, and I saw them through new eyes. What I realized is they weren't fighting at all. They're just expressing how they feel all the time, which includes anything that I might categorize as negative. The interesting thing was it never came with a demand for a change in behavior, and it was never, the reaction was never personal. So the girl might say something like, "Oh God, Anthony, you always leave the glasses out." And he'd just be like, "Yep, sure do." And that was it. It's over. And I'd be like, I was watching that like, huh, she doesn't even care that he's not going to change. She was frustrated, so she said something. She got it out right there. She didn't let it build. She didn't let it accumulate with other grievances. Yeah. She just went like, it's like a dog kind of going, "Arr," when you get near its food. Mm-hmm. And then it forgives you straight away because it's moved on.
Yeah.
And I was like, they do that with each other all the time. And to somebody who doesn't know what they're looking at, it looks like they're having problems. Mm. Well, 10 years later, they're the strongest marriage I know besides my own. They're still going strong when everybody else is starting to have their problems and my friends are having their first divorces and everything. These guys cruising, three kids running a business together, loving life, and still bickering. And that's where I was like, if you get it out nice and early, but as I talk about in the book, it's not a manipulation. You're not trying to get an outcome. You're not trying to change or convince people. You're just being true to yourself. You're getting it out rather than holding it in. And you're letting other people react to it however they want. You don't try to change their reaction or control it. You know, I might say to somebody, "I disagree." And they're like, "Well, I disagree with you." You're like, "Okay, then. Well, at least we both got it out. Mm. I still like you, you know? We don't have to disagree doesn't mean dislike.
Yeah.
It just means you and I don't see eye to eye on that issue. And actually, if we saw eye to eye on everything, our friendship would be fucking boring. Mm. You know, the amount of guys I work with who are like exasperated by how crazy their girls are because they don't understand sort of women, really. I'm like, dude, if they thought like a guy like you're wishing, you'd be bored to death.
Yeah.
If they never pissed you off and never like confused you and never disagreed with you, I've seen marriages and relationships like that and they fucking hit the rocks hard after a few decades and everybody regrets living that way, you know? So I kind of went off on a rant there, but that's kind of where I was going.
No, it's a good rant though. And you're dead on with it to be honest. And it's, you know, like you said, it's all about what you're comfortable doing and what level you're at and you know, how much you want to express. But I think overall it's like, you know, in your life, it's, you know, it takes some time to get to a certain level of that truth and how much you're going to reveal and how much you want to tell. But, you know, you're fine with where you're at as long as you're progressing along that spectrum of getting to the place you want to be. Like, it's kind of like a lot of things in life. Like, and I say this all the time, like, you don't have to be, you're trying to lose weight or whatever. You have a goal, a fitness goal. You're trying to pack on muscle or, you know, you're trying to get, you have like a certain goal. You don't have to reach that goal to be happy right now. You can be happy right now knowing that you're getting towards that goal and making progress. The same type of thing here where it's like you don't need to express everything and throw, you know, everything at people right away. But as long as you're getting more and more honest with yourself, I think that's the best, you know, recipe for success and you know, the true happiness that actually does arise from getting that shame out of you.
Exactly. The way I look at it, integrity is your best attempt to be honest right now. If you do that, then you're living with integrity. Now, you can always imagine being even more honest, but if that's beyond your current level of courage, then that's just a fiction.
Yeah.
What you can do today is what's available, and you've always got a choice. Essentially, what I talk about in the book, right from the very beginning, I talk about a moment me and Lucy had where she mentioned that if a guy has a history with drug use, it's a total deal breaker for her. And she said that, and my like heart dropped because I was like, "Ooh, that's me," you know. And I'm at that crossroads, and this is the crossroads we all end up at day after day. Be honest or get the thing you want. It feels like that's the choice so often. Maybe the thing you want is just a comfortable work environment or comfortable emotions, Maybe it's a promotion. Maybe it's a date with a girl or sex. And maybe it's more money. There just comes these moments in life where you predict, I'll either be honest or I'll get the thing, but I won't get both. And so many people choose the thing. And they don't really call that dishonesty. They go through this big guilt-reducing narrative justification in their head to excuse this particular act of dishonesty. And that's why a lot of people think of themselves as honest. They've talked themselves into believing that it's always justified. But what I did at that moment with Lucy, I was just like, okay, time to lose the girl. I've committed to honesty. I'm going to lose her. The book will tell you the rest, but here we are 5 years later, married, about to have our first kid. I was wrong. It looked like I was going to lose her, but honesty actually kept her, and honesty has kept her ever since. Funny thing is, when I do slip into people-pleasing, that's when we have our conflicts. Even when I know she's going to be upset by the truth, in the long run, it's always better for us. So I started experimenting with that, not just in my social life, but in my career. I started being more honest. As I became a coach, my content got more honest and more opinionated and more polarizing, just like you're doing right now with Facebook and everything. I just started going, okay, I know this. I could think of the person who's going to react badly to this. I actually could put a name to it. I know I'm going to get an email this week, you know. Or these days I piss off entire groups sometimes. And I'm just like, oh, here comes the comments with all capitals, you know. But because I've been slowly and gradually increasing that, just like someone losing weight 1 kilogram a week, my lifestyle is actually suiting it. So now I have a job where I'm actually rewarded for being honest. I have a relationship where I'm rewarded for being honest. I have an inner character where I like myself more, the more honest I am. It's slowly like the world's adjusted to my honesty. My world has. So now it's easy for me to do it. It's actually easier for me to be honest now than it is to lie. But I had to break away from an old world where it was easier to lie than be honest. I had to end friendships. I had to change my job. People need to understand you're not going to do all this in 1 week. You'll slowly, gradually kind of lose the weight while gaining the muscle. As long as you keep going, say, 1% more honest every day, little experiment once a week or twice a week where you push the boundaries and feel the heart beating a little bit more. You have your list of all the things you're ashamed of and you just start crossing them off one at a time. Maybe you start with safe people you can trust who you know won't judge you, like a support group or your girlfriend or your best mate from high school. And slowly you build up, you practice with them, and then you start saying the same things to people who are a bit more reactive and a bit more judgmental, and you just build up until you're like, fuck it, let the whole world know. Because you're okay with it now, and you're like, I'd rather be honest than have them like me. It's become more important. And I think this is the key point, really. The book is for someone who has either already come to the conclusion or is interested in the idea that maybe integrity itself is the priority. That everything else, sex, money, popularity, love, are all secondary goals to integrity. You liking yourself and being true to yourself as the primary reason to do something, the goal itself. That's why I wrote this book, is because that's the choice I've made. I've decided me being true to me is more important than anything else. It's more important than my own family. Because actually, if I do it, it's best for everybody anyway. But not everybody. Not some of my friends who no longer talk to me. And not some of my audience members who did a big flounce and cancelled and blocked. And there's some people who really reacted quite badly to it, but I seem to be doing all right without them, you know?
Yeah, that's incredible, man. It's a really powerful message. It is. What is what's a last send-off takeaway message you'd like to leave? And that you could, you know, leave on that one as well, but I think you got one more for us. What's a send-off takeaway message for the Elite Man audience and then a place our listeners can check out the book that is coming out, I think, when this episode is released within just a few weeks, The Naked Truth?
I think I want to sort of plant an idea. Right at the end of the book, I talk about something called ruthless honesty. And I build up to this slowly. After the bit about confrontations and speaking your mind and causing reactions, I get to ruthlessness. Now, ruthlessness is what I used to have to use as a probation officer working with murderers and psychopaths and pedophiles. It was a level of honesty where, like, no feelings are spared. There is nothing more thrilling or masculine than engaging in that level of honesty. When you can stand up for what is right in the face of massive resistance and just be able to go, no, fuck you, I'm not backing down on this, you'll be flying high for weeks afterwards. That's what's waiting for you at the end of this journey, the final realms of honesty. It's actually like, that's why I love your example of what you're doing at the moment. You get to this point where you're like, I'm going to go all in on what I believe in. And it's fucking terrifying, and you get big, big reactions from it. But seeing yourself handle those reactions, watching yourself step up and go, fuck, even in the face of massive resistance, I don't bend. If you want to feel good about yourself, you need to have that experience. And you got to earn your way up to that experience. It can't be faked. You can't have like a brittle spine. You have to build up to this shameless, powerful place where you're like, all right, I know what I believe in now. I know what's right. I'm going to stand for it. Anyone out there listening who lacks meaning and purpose in their life, who looks in the mirror and wishes they were someone else, that's the experience you're lacking. Because once you start having a few of those experiences, you're never going to question yourself again. You know? So I want to put that out there as kind of like a teaser. By the end of the book, you'll have built up to that. If you do all the exercises anyway.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That really is a powerful, powerful message. I'm glad you shared that and end on that note. But what's the link and stuff to check it out? What's the, how can our listeners get a hold of this book?
I'll give you a link that they can click because I can't remember the whole URL. It's brojo.org, and the book's on there. Just look up The Naked Truth in the search function. But I'll give you a link for that one.
Yeah, maybe you can put an N, an appendage to the brojo.org, but maybe like /naked truth or something like that. We'll figure it out though, but maybe something like easy like that. And we'll put it in the show notes for the guys.
Yep. There is something, I just can't remember the exact wording of it.
All right, cool.
But yeah, if you go to brojo.org at the moment, all my latest content's about The Naked Truth anyway. I've just been pumping it out, so you'll definitely see a lot about it there.
Pops right up, and it's on Amazon as well, right? We'll send you to Amazon.
That's right.
All right, cool, man. Dan, thanks again for coming on, brother. Really do appreciate it. It's always a pleasure having you on. And this is probably, honestly, of all the shows you and I have done, and mine and your, me being on your podcast, you being on my podcast, this is probably my number one favorite one, because I think it's probably the most important topic as far as being honest and having integrity. And it was an awesome episode, man. I know guys are going to love this one. So take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, bro. Really appreciate it. That was awesome.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I'd like you to do, and that's this. Subscribe to our podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast episodes and all of our world-class advice absolutely free. Subscribe now if you haven't already and become an Elite Man today. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an amazing review. We really do appreciate it.